All right, folks, welcome to NinosCorner.tv. I got a hell of a show for you today. The Ark of Trump, the Royal Ark. What is this thing? Trump is building an ark in Washington, D.C., and I'm bringing on Jamie Walden and John Pounders to discuss this further. Is this thing a D.C. portal? Is he continuing with this satanic, demonic symbology? I want to know. I leave no stone unturned. I'm bringing on my guests right now. John Pounders, you've seen him on Pounders Quest, and Jamie Walden. Guys, thank you so much for joining me. This is amazing to have you all together. I saw you, Jamie, on John Pounders' show, and I called up John. I was like, dude, my man, got to bring this guy on. We got to talk about this because, you know, everyone throws me in the category as right-wing, MAGA. You know, I am. I do back Trump until I don't. So, yep. I try to leave all my options open. I've always said when the pendulum swings far left, it will swing really far right. And I'd like to explore all avenues here, and you're going to help me do that. So I really appreciate you coming on. Folks, if you're not familiar with Jamie Walden, you're the founder of a ministry, Omega Dynamics. You are a sergeant in the Marine Corps, correct? And you've done federal law enforcement. Anything I missed there?
Yeah, I was a sergeant in the Marine Corps, did the college thing, worked with the marshals for a hot minute, then was a street cop, and then changed over and did tactical EMS, like a kind of SWAT medic, for lack of a better word, and then got into fire EMS, where I was a rescue technician, firefighter, paramedic, and then also did tactical EMS as well, too.
So, John, obviously everyone knows who you are. Pounders Quest, I've had you on my show a few times. You've had me on your show. We cross-promote quite a bit. Love John Pounders, man. He's a great co-host, and I co-host with him sometimes. So it's great. John, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it as always. I'm always excited to join you. And I, you know, man, like Jamie Walden's awesome. Like out of all the guests that I've had, like, I feel like he's been one that's kind of overwhelmed me with information the most that I had to really take into account that I really, you know, it's hard when you look at somebody like Trump that clearly has things that are, they seem like really decent motives. Like, it seems like the stuff he tries to pass, it seems like a lot of good stuff, but then you have these weird things that are like symbols behind the scenes and like just things that are said that just, man, it blows my mind, man. I don't know what to think about this. So Jamie's a great guest and I'm honored to be on.
Can't ignore it. You know, I pride myself on exposing as much as I can in truth, and it's not always going to be comfortable. You know, like I said, I'm still a Trump supporter. I can't, of course, I'm not going to support the left or the radical ideology, the craziness, but maybe that's the genius behind all this, so that you do fall for whatever's coming, right? I mean, it just makes sense to me. So, but I do pay attention to the symbology. And when you have something like, and I don't know if Alex can bring it up right now, the Ark of the Royal Ark, which is being, is it just now being constructed, Jamie?
I'm not sure where it's at in its phases of construction, so it's hard to really know like how far it pushed out, especially with kind of the hyperbolic nature and the trolling, the exquisite trolling capabilities of Trump. Sometimes he puts things out there just to trigger and to get the trolls going. And so as far as the actual construction of it, I'm not sure. But you know, you brought up something important. You know, is this. This whole concept and construct of Trump, not Trump as a person, that even that is a misnomer because it's an automatic trigger. So it's going to swing you hyper emotionalism either one way or the other, just based on the name. It's like if it was Smith or Johnson or Gutierrez or anything else like that, like nobody would give it a second thought. But because it just happens to be Trump, there's too much emotionalism from the left or the right. And that's by design. There's actually a philosophical or psychological basis behind that called the Cloward and Piven strategy, which were, I believe they were not Stanford Research Institute, but of Stanford University, who kind of coined that term. And it was in particular having to do with some socioeconomic stuff, but they actually have adopted it to all these other manners of psychological operations, long-term longitudinal psychological operations, where basically they bombard and overwhelm your senses with so much metadata and competing arguments that you can never actually connect all the dots. And so that's even the use of the Trump derangement syndrome and stuff like that. It's part and partial. But I remember specifically in 2015, so before Trump's first election, which I'm like you, Nino, and I'm sure like you, John, where it's like, hey, man, all right, like, hey, take the wins where you can get them through Trump, like take the wins. But as I've also said all along the whole way, and I've never changed my paradigm on this, is, but you better go in with eyes wide open. Why do I say that? Because of the language that he uses. Now, anybody who is schooled in the mystery schools, the adepts of arcane occultism, I don't care. You can bring it up into our modern lexicon of theosophy or thelema or these different things, the OTO. I mean, the overt trigger words are like Freemasonry or the Illuminists, which, by the way, don't call that woo. That's just straight historicity. For your listeners, real quick too, Nino, just to give a little bit of validity. When I went to my undergrad degree is in law enforcement, but also history. So as a classically trained, you know, historian, for lack of a better word, or I would say pseudo historian, and a macro researcher, is that we were required to always read primary source. We could never read what anybody else said about another person. We had to read what they said for themselves or among their contemporaries from their handwritten letters or handwritten books or treatises or whatever they would put out there, so that we wouldn't have biases bent on somebody else's take on it. So even when I'm looking at Trump way back in 2015, you know, I was telling people that the great deception through which the enslavement of all of humanity, for lack of a better word, or this implementation of what's going to be, you know, a totalitarian based hyper spiritual global governance after a shared collective traumatic experience over the face of the earth, which is going to galvanize the human consciousness. Go, send it.
Hold on. A traumatic, what'd you just say here? A traumatic experience that we all share together. What was the word?
A shared global traumatic experience.
A shared global traumatic experience, which I know we're getting ready to come into. That's what that board says in the alphabet, that 17th letter. I don't want to go into it on Fluff too, but they talk about it must go military, the whole thing, that letter board. So they talk about, you know, 10 days of darkness, all kinds of stuff. That would make sense, right? That would be the shared traumatic experience, correct?
Because what you need is a collective consciousness without any outliers.
So like a 9/11.
Like a 9/11 or like the 2020 thing, right?
For lack of a word. Also, like, I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about this, Jamie, but you've been working with like the community of like high level people on the UFO type stuff. Could that be something too that could cause like a worldwide traumatic experience as well?
100%. I actually just had a meeting, had to drive like 12 hours in the snow. It was horrible. I just had a meeting with them on Tuesday evening. So, they're actively, I don't do this for clickbait sensational, like, ooh, I got contacts, but like they are right. There's different ways. I actually asked, how do I even reference what we're doing here? And they said, we're known within federal law enforcement intelligence communities as the clandestine network. That's how they told me that I was free to reference them. So when I just met with them on Tuesday, they literally just left an in-person meeting with David Grush, and I was with Mike Herrera was at the meeting, you know, and Greer's on the team, and Barber's on the team, Jake Barber, all these different guys, Bledsoe's on the team. These guys are very actively, in a good way, working towards an accountability, for lack of a better word, at the federal level, to the point where they're going to be issuing a brief to the president proper themselves. So I was blessed enough to be invited into this, you know, whatever collective of men, for lack of a better word, specifically, they said, for the church. They're like, the church is the number one people that are not ready for what's coming next. That's why they're like, we contacted over 200 pastors across the nation, for lack of a better word. None of them responded except for you. And they're like, and that's wow. Why we want to get this connectivity out there. Cause they said, we're trying to hit it from the policy making aspect. So lawmaking and policy making to the intelligence community, to federal Leo, and then down into state and local law enforcement officers. And then in particular out to the church, cause they said they're the last ones the last bat, they have no clue what's coming. And the men that I met with are they're the only two believers within this team, which is why they're wanting to connect. Cause they're obviously with these men, what we know as the kind of more mainstream whistleblowers that have been out there for numerous years doing the congressional hearings and the Senate intelligence hearings and these different things on UAPs and USOs and non-human, intelligence things that they're doing, crash retrieval, all the different stuff. These are the guys on the team. Like, this is the team. And they're compiling all this stuff for a lot of years, but they said that what their battle is with inside this own collective, this network, for lack of a better word, because, and they said, none of them are lying. None of them are nefarious. None of them are malintended. They 100% believe what they've seen and what they're doing. Like, let's say Jake Barber with his experience in this feminine entity and energy overtaking him and showing him all this good things and blah, blah, blah. Same thing with the blood. So like, hey, this spirit guide basically came and basically what they're describing is a Christ consciousness and the great deception.
That's the new age. That's the new age religion. That's yes. That right there, the Christ consciousness. Everyone
100%. And even these guys are like, nobody's mudslinging. Nobody's condemning and slandering. Like, they 100% believe what they saw and what they experienced. And I go, that's been my perspective too. And I go, so this is the nature of the great deception is, and going back to that global collective traumatic experience onto a global collective hive mind, a global collective consciousness, is you will personally experience it. You will feel it. There will be physiological responses to it, not to mention the psychological responses to it and the emotional responses to it. And then there's an intellectual ascent through the emotionalism from the experience that galvanizes a collective consciousness that is a personal testimony. So me, as biblical worldview and a believer in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, you put a gun to my head and I can't deny what I know, what I know, what I know. I was blind and now I can see. You can't take my testimony from it. It is my testimony. I have personally experienced it. I have personally witnessed it. And nobody can tell me that what I've seen and what I've experienced through the Lord Jesus Christ is a lie. That's the exact counterfeit nature of the great deception. It will be so intimately personal, each one to the individual through different psionic based capabilities and, emerging technologies, ELF waveforms through directed energy weapons, not to mention mass media campaigns, the excitation physiologically and neurologically to imprint particular emotions or patterns or experiences on people. And then you combine that with the ability to monitor and disseminate and pump out stuff, each one to the individual through AI, super AI algorithms. And then you combine that with the capabilities through technologies that most people can't even comprehend, not to mention the rollout of advanced technologies, whether they're antediluvian, prediluvian, ours, theirs, whatever, reverse engineered, from S1, S2 shops and all these different things, anti-gravitical propulsed craft over the face of the earth at the same time. Enter in the beta test with the New Jersey drones and all that, right? These are all psychological beta tests that the algorithms are pulling the data to see where are we at on the timeline of achieving this thing. And now it's not too hard to arrive with intellectual integrity at exactly how the great deception is going to come about, including the ability to create plasma balls, which people are seeing all over the place, right? Is these, like a sun-based orb within a glass and the different orb sightings and these plasma-based elements, because what most people don't understand, the basics of science and physics, is that there's actually four states of matter: solid, liquid, gas, and then plasma. And they do have the capabilities to literally create plasma balls in the ionosphere and mesosphere that fall to the earth in mass and look like calling down fire from the heavens. So when it even talks about the Antichrist performing lying signs and wonders and wonders that serve the lie, the capacity and the capability within the context of technology is already there. And so even as I'm talking with you know, some of these guys, I'm just beginning. We've been in conversation for a year. We just had our first meeting in person, and just this week actually. And the things that I've been allowed to see or been read into, for lack of a better word, it's like it's a hundredfold worse than what I thought it was.
So hundredfold worse. Let me just interject just for a second. This reminds me to that verse in the Bible, or I think it was in Luke, the hearts of men will fail them in these times, correct? I can't say it verbatim, but that's I'm on the right track here, right? The hearts of
100%. Men. 100%. Yeah, that men's hearts fail them for fear of what they see coming upon the earth, taking place upon the earth.
There you go. So hold on. So this would all make sense right now at such a time as this, but they would need to like put their ducks in a row first. They would need to first fulfill certain steps, which would be predictive programming, which you've had on cable television with Ancient Aliens. They would have to push that for the last decade, right? Get people programmed into, oh, the gods are coming, or the lowercase gods are coming. They seeded the planet, Ancient Aliens, and also the internet, because they would need to have everyone instantaneously unified into looking at the same thing at the exact same time, which would happen now, right? If a big craft comes or whatever, everyone instantaneously sees it. So this was all methodically planned out. Would you agree with that? Through predictive programming of Ancient Aliens and the internet, basically it's all coming into this. It was all built for this final climax of the Great Deception.
100%. It even goes back way further than that. And, you know, I use the word terraforming. So, for lack of a better word, they have to terraform again the collective consciousness. So this even goes back to the fulfillment of biblical prophecy about the times, mm-hmm. the likes of which never has been and never will be again. Even when we look at different deceptions, different acts of judgment that the Lord has exacted against particular nation states or pagan empires. Also, even the nature of Genesis 6 to the Tower of Babel, you know, to the flood and elsewhere, is a lot of times in these different aspects, they were, well, excluding the flood, but they were spot judgments, right? Typically operating in spot judgments and even spot delusions and deceptions, Nebuchadnezzar being a good example of that. And different other aspects. But what we have at the end of the age is it is global, it is collective, and it is fully unifying. So therefore, it requires a particular type of terraforming. So it goes way back even beyond just the advent of modern technology, which is a side note, if people don't know, is the tube, which was created for TV, which is why it's called programming, your nightly programming, and broadcasting, as in casting of spells, was developed by the Nazis in the late 20s into the early 1930s. They developed the tube to create the TV to get programming and broadcasting of spells into the home of every German citizen, because in opposition to a revisionist history, is about 1-3% of people supported the Nazi party, until the U.S. sent in the Huxley brothers and others to create mass media propaganda to spin up the entire nation of Germany to back the Nazi party, which is why Time magazine made Hitler Time magazine man of the year, and I believe it was 1933. Also why Henry Ford was shipped over to Germany to show them how to implement the final solution through the industrialization of the Ford Motor Company processes to streamline what we know historically as the final solution against the Jewish people. Oh, and by the way, Long Island, New York was the largest Nazi population outside of Germany throughout the entirety of the war, up to the point where U-boats were actually beaching themselves on the beaches of Long Island and letting out top-tier Nazi leadership to have in-person meetings on the U.S. mainland off of the coast of Long Island. So then that gets into Operation Paperclip, you know, and everything else.
Which is why we brought all the Nazis here to work for us, yeah, as scientists, whatever.
Yeah. And then you get into JPL, you know, then this is where I'm going with this, is the occultism of terraforming. So then you get into L. Ron Hubbard and Jack Parsons and Aleister Crowley and the Babylon Working and blah, blah, blah. Okay. All this stuff, even that's just a snapshot, what I just fire hosed, because it goes even deeper than that to way back to the concept or the hypothesis of Darwinian evolution, By the way, Charles Darwin and Madame Blavatsky, I believe it was Alice Bailey or Madame Blavatsky. I can't remember. But their grandfathers were best friends. And these two, who created these two huge radical occultic movements, sat under that teaching together. So then you get Theosophy, and then you get Bailey, who creates the United Nations, who has their charter under the Lucifer Trust of the United Nations. And then you got Darwinian evolution, which was literally put into place for one reason, a longitudinal goal to where we're at right now. This is the terraforming to right now, that you can concede to the possibility,
right,
of the evolutionary process of the species, including non-human intelligence. You can concede that that is a possibility. That's all I need.
So there it is. There's a picture of like a one picture of what they think a gray may look like, whatever. But this has been programmed into us as children,
yes,
for the longest time, you know, through movies, commercials, all this stuff, so that we accept how they look and what's about to come, correct? The predictive programming through Hollywood, music, the whole thing to lead to such a time as now.
Yes. And even a lot of that had to come through hedonism, which is actually a religion, which was implemented in the US in the late 1800s. Most people don't know that, you know, because again, revisionist history and stuff like that that's taught in schools. But all these things have been sown into our collective conscious for a long time to get to this point. So the
Roswell crash, that's when it first really kicked off. The Roswell crash in what, 1947 or what was it? But that's really when everyone started really paying attention to, oh, other life forms. Oh, the grays, right? Future humans coming down, whatever the concept of what one thinks of an alien is.
The gray
after World War II.
Yep. Yeah, and that gets in a, you know, you can get, we can do Operation High Jump or whatever, which my great uncle was with Admiral Byrd on Operation High Jump. I have primary source photos that nobody's seen of him and Admiral Byrd together surveying America.
Whoa, your uncle?
My great uncle, yes.
Your great uncle was with Admiral Byrd.
Admiral Byrd on Operation High Jump, and I have photos that have never been produced. I found them in a shoebox with his medal from Operation High Jump and his citation. He actually designed one of the original stamps for Antarctica, of all things. And he was operating as a geologist from Stanford University, but he was actually OSS, the precursor to CIA. And our family doesn't know a lot. I have his personal journal. I have photos that had never been developed before. And
was he like acquaintances with John Lathe and all those guys?
I'm sorry?
Was he acquaintances with like John Lathe? He was OSS, and I think acquaintances with the Byrd as well. I don't know if you know who I'm talking about, but
yeah, I'm not sure if you know about John Lathe, but I mean, I have signed pictures from him and Admiral Byrd together on Operation High Jump, like pictures of them in the ship on Christmas, celebrating Christmas in the ship, you know, docked down there at Antarctica and stuff like that. But it was side note, interesting is he was also, there's photos of him at the table taking the Japanese surrender to the Chinese in the Forbidden City, which no Westerner had ever been at. So we don't know a lot about Uncle Arthur. Because never married, never had kids. Like he was operating at that level, but he was on Operation High Jump. He received the surrender papers from Japan to China in the Forbidden City, which is insane. And all I know is 10 days after the lunar landing, he showed up at the table and said, this was to my cousins that are older. Do you want to touch some rocks from outer space? So whoever this guy was, Uncle Arthur, we'll never really know. This dude was connected. And I know that's a side note, but
let me ask you something real quick, Jamie. Let's get back on track. What we were going to originally talk about here, which was the arcs, the DC portals. I mean, that all you've given a beautiful backstory to where I want to go with this, which is this royal arc that Trump is building in DC and Washington, DC. Is this to you, with all the research and explorations that you've done? I know you've been with Timothy Alberino, who I have a great respect for. Do you think these are demonic portals that are going to let in these entities that will claim they are aliens? And do you believe we live in an enclosed system with a firmament?
I'll answer the first part because that's going to be pretty in depth first. But do I believe that these are portals that allow the entities in? No, I don't think that they're portals in particular, but I think they're a representation of what is called the apotheosizing or the apotheosis, because that is what the triumphant arch of Titus, which is what Trump's arch is based off of, is the apotheosizing of Titus by his brother Domitian implemented that. And what it was saying that he had become like a god. So it goes back to the original lie in the Garden of Eden. It's also the reason why Trump moved his inauguration into the rotunda of the Capitol building, because where he chose to be inaugurated, which to be inaugurated, an augur was these ancient occultic oracles that would affirm somebody through the gods of old. This gets into that golden age language that he uses all the time. To be inaugurated meant that there was a sign from the gods of old that this next person was to be deified and was affirmed by the gods, that they approved of their undertaking. So Trump moving his inauguration, that word matters, into the Capitolium of Jupiter, Capitol Hill, Capitolium of Jupiter, Jupiter being Zeus, being Satan, being Lucifer, under the apotheosis of Washington, which is the only thing that's in the rotunda, is it's called the apotheosis of Washington. Washington became like God, surrounded by the Cumaean Sibyl, which is the ancient prophecy about the return of the golden age of the gods, and which is what's on the back of your dollar bill, Inuit Coeptus, right? And Novus Ordo Seclorum, these come, Inuit Coeptus in particular comes through the occultic practices, the Cumaean Sibyl, which were like the oracles of Delphi, for lack of a better word, but way more powerful. There's a reason why he chose to do that and why he only ever uses the language of the golden age and has referred to himself as the first Aquarian president born on the age of Aquarius. And this is kind of, I know I got off track, but backing up to 2015, Trump, every speech, almost, can't say everyone, that's too hyper-generalized, almost every speech since 2015 that Trump has given, he inserts ancient arcane mystery school religion into every single one of them. Now, to a normal person, they don't pick up on any of that. They don't hear any of that. And I became very well aware in 2015 that Trump is the forerunner, like a John the Baptist, for the Great Deception. That's my opinion.
For the Antichrist?
For the Antichrist. That's my speculation. That's my opinion.
Trump is not the Antichrist.
But no, not at all. I've never said that. I'll never affirm that Trump is the Antichrist. I don't believe that whatsoever. But as anything, there's always a terraforming, like we've talked about.
Well, he's paving the way. I mean, his deal with Palantir, the whole thing like that, it raises questions in my mind.
Yes. Not just Palantir, but then you could talk about the Abraham Accords. Then you can talk about the Gaza Peace Plan. Then you can talk about him literally being labeled the man of peace, which is the only messianic language that the Jews are allowed to use from the highest rabbinical caste in Israel, has dubbed him Messiah. I kid you not. They've called him Messiah. Then what? He just got a golden crown from whatever nation. Then he got another golden crown from another nation. Now they're talking about him being the peace president. That he's today he fomented some other peace agreement between, I don't know, Congo and
this is discussed in the Bible, correct? This is what they talk about before the end times, right?
Yes, and
you guys, again, you guys know where my research has been for like the last decade, has been into occult books and all of those different things, dude. And like when you said that about Trump, that's so true. Like everything, like he seems really good, man. Like, you know, even theosophy in general, like if you read the books like by Bailey, they seem like some of the same things you hear pastors saying. Like, I mean, literally, like the, you know, about Christ and about all that. I think like there was a Charlie Kirk speech that I was looking at, somebody had lined up his speech with a chapter in Alice Bailey's book, and it was almost the same word for word language that was being used. And so it's crazy, but yeah, Trump uses that stuff all the time, dude. And not to mention like on the celebration night of their, when he got elected in 2025, they had, his wife was dancing out to Age of Aquarius, and
yep,
they're, you know, like he on his walls in his house, in his condo or whatever, the building that he owns, and you can see the pictures. He has Apollo everywhere, and you talked about Sybil and the Sibylline prophecies, and that all goes back to Apollo, man. It's crazy.
Even the seals, the seal on the back of our dollar bill, the most widely circulated talisman in all of human history, by the way, is what it is. That's why you have the overlay of the Romanesque with the Egyptological Marian, right? This is why the Trump of our, the arch of Trump, or well, the arch of Titus, he's just recreating it. Why that matters is because that's what that was about. It was the marrying and the assimilation of Pharaoh with Caesar. And actually the Caesars chose to be called by Pharaoh primarily over anything else. So it was the amalgamation. There's a dollar bill right there on the screen of you have your Romanesque phoenix symbol next to your Egyptological symbol with the all-seeing eye of Jupiter, you know, Horus, Osiris, Lucifer himself, right? With uncompleted with the 13 steps and 33 stones and Anuit Coeptus, which again comes from that Cumane Sibylline prophecies. And what it means is Jupiter, Lucifer, almighty, favor our bold undertaking. That's literally what that says right there. Lucifer, almighty, favors our bold undertaking, the new order of the ages, Novus Ordo Seclorum. This is what it's all about, and it's right there in unbelievably plain sight. And this is why on all of our money, it says, in God we trust. And there's a whole backstory to that I won't get into today about the debate that was going on with the engravers of this great seal between a very small sect of Christians and then everybody else being the deist, worshiping these arcane gods through the mystery schools, battled and finally settled on, if we say in God we trust, the main elite were all right with that because, no kidding, this is what they said. They said, when the ruins of this Atlantean empire are exhumed one day, they will only come to one conclusion of what God we trusted, and it will be Lucifer himself. Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, this is what these guys said and promoted. Primary source research, go do your own research, and don't listen to the sound bites.
So let me ask you this. So everyone's anticipating Trump to bring in this new money structure, this new money system, right? Everyone's talking about it. We're going to switch. We're going to defeat the Federal Reserve. We're going to go into a gold-backed dollar. Are we just really going into this? Is he just paving the way to the beast system? Is that what's happening here? Because that's kind of how I see it. I think it's
100%.
I think it's going to be great for a few years. I think it's, you know, a lot of people are like, no, you don't understand. XRP is the way to go, and everything's going to be backed by gold, digitized. I'm like, wait a minute here. AI, all the deals he's making kind of are raising flags to me. And yes, I think it's going to be great for the next maybe 5-10 years. But then I think it's going to take a really hard left turn. Am I on to something here?
And that's where you get into, while they are saying peace and security, peace and prosperity,
they're telling it to us,
then sudden destruction will come upon the whole face of the earth. So this is where I was going to go. And I know I got so many different competing thoughts in my pea brain, but is what I was studying about Trump in 2015. So I'm backing up to what I was saying before through the lens of the mystery schools and the cultism, I'm sure John can probably speak to it at greater detail than I can, is that the whole deep state narrative, the entire oligarch, fascist based, family bloodline, sycophant, adrenochrome, child sacrificing, pedophile, freak show world was allowed to raise up and to become at the forefront of everybody's minds, all the corruption from the courts to the jurisprudence and down and to the Hollywood and blah, blah, blah. Intentionally, it has been intentionally built up and exposed for a Building 7 moment, a controlled demolition. This is what I was studying from the mystery schools way back in 2015, as they said, all of this is being propped up. This was before Trump got in office and started talking about the deep state and draining the swamp and all that. They said all, and this was from the mystery school adepts that have come out and either been regenerate in Christ or just broken from that stranglehold. They said that all of this gross, extreme grossness from Obama through Biden and everything else, even into the Bushes, is being intentionally exposed incrementally for a controlled demolition at the appointed time, for a hardcore pendulum swing that people will clamor for. for a counterfeit light. Enter Trump 2016. He was the response to the controlled demolition.
I think Jared Kushner is going to play a role in this. I don't trust this guy. When I see him, I see this little smirk. He's always behind the scenes, smiling, kind of creepy-ish. What's your thoughts on Jared Kushner? I'd love to know.
Yeah, I mean, 100% agree. There's
666 Main Street is his address, or Fifth Main, or what is his? Something it crazy. Is. I don't know if Alex can pull up. Also, Alex, if you could pull up Trump's building with the upside-down pyramid and show Jared Kushner's address.
Well,
I mean, Mark of the Beast, right? I don't know.
And, you know, here's what's more important than that is the reality of that everything regarding both Trump and Kushner, if you pay attention to the iconography that they surround themselves with, one is gold, right? Which that gets into Apollo and Apollyon worship, right? Which we know Apollyon and Apollo is central to all things. Actually, the Man of Perdition is literally translated Apollo. When Apollo comes on the scene here, and again, I know John already mentioned this, but he has frescoes and paintings like effigies of Apollo everywhere. Highly worships Apollo. By the way, some key attributes about Apollo was his golden wispy hair, his ability to make deals where no deals could ever be made. And he had the ability within himself, the god Apollo, to stave off pandemics. I kid you not. Like, all the details about who Apollo was. Okay, so Kushner. Kushner and Trump both, they're Kabbalist. Okay, so that's what people needed to know first and foremost.
I should have really given a trigger warning to my audience because they're all Trump lovers. And I still back Trump, but I'm just saying, folks, got to listen to all things here. I should have given a trigger warning. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, and that's why I say, I take the wins where we get the wins as citizens of this nation. We take the wins. We take the wins where there's things that may – lend itself, push itself back towards more righteous-based things, right things, right? Nuclear families, staving off this, good borders. All these things are actually things that God implemented, right? Like God actually implemented borders. God implemented governments. God implemented these things. God implemented a means of exchange. Now we have Babylonian money magic that's made it all alchemy. That's Wall Street, right? It's all alchemy now, but its original intents were actually pure. So that's why I go take the wins, but don't be blinded by emotion. I say have intellectual integrity. Like we'll just operate with intellectual integrity. I take the wins with my current commander in chief in the office. You guys heard a little bit of my background. My entire adult life has been public service to the extreme at high cost, high consequence. I am extremely patriotic. But I'm not stupid. I'm a free thinker. So I'll allow integrity and intellectual integrity and spiritual integrity to dictate where I'm at today, not tribalism and factions and emotional swings. That's what they count on, right? This is what the global elite count on, is that you will be emotionally swayed by every toss to and fro, by every whim and error of the soundbite du jour, right? And so, anyways, going back to Trump, the whole Apollyon
real quick too, real quick too. So, I want to say something real quick too, just because, like, I actually like Trump. And here's the thing: is like all of these symbols and all of these signs. You could say the same thing about almost every major ruler of the world that's ever existed. You could almost find like a lot of these same weird things that were seen in Trump, you know what I'm saying? And so, like, even in the Bible, some of these kings were called God's servants, like Nebuchadnezzar,
100%.
And so, like, even though, like, he holds these religions, etc., God still has the ability to control his mind or his heart and everything, really, and ultimately. So I want to say that too, because I know, Nino, you do have like a ton of Trump supporters, and every time I say something when I'm on your show that, you know, imply, and this stuff is just truth, but I wanted to let you know that I do support Trump and I do like him, even though there are things that are, I mean, these things are true. I mean, what can you say? That it is what it is.
I mean, it's staring at us in the face. I mean, I am a Trump supporter, right? Everyone knows that, but I'm also emotionally invested. And I'll admit that I am emotionally invested at this point. They pulled on my emotions and heartstrings. I've been studying the globalist agenda since, you know, I woke up around 2001. I really believe Trump is the answer. But when I see things like this, what you're showing, what you're displaying and talking about, Yeah, man. I don't want to be there. I'm not, my buddy Ian Wendt said this. He said, I'm a patriot, not a loyalist. Yes. Right. So I'm not following a culture. That's why I have programs like this. That's why I have Jamie on, John Bounders. That's why I have these people on, folks. We got to be careful. We always got to be careful, man.
And well, that's why for me at the end of the day, and you know, this is the way I describe it to people. I'm like, yes, I am a citizen of the United States of America, but more importantly, I'm a monarchist. I believe in a king and a kingdom that's eternal and can never be shaken. And his name is Christ Jesus. So at the end of the day, I am a monarchist. I just happen to be, like it says biblically, the elect exiles of the dispersion. I'm an elect exile of the dispersion living in Babylon, mystery Babylon, just like God had a remnant that he pulled out of Jerusalem, put him into Babylon. He said, now go operate in that reality because my sovereignty's there. The Lord's sovereign over all this. Build houses, you know, plant vineyards, give your sons and daughters in marriage, pray for its welfare because as its welfare goes, so goes yours. So I am a monarchist as an elect exile of the dispersion in Babylon. In fact, more importantly, I'm an ambassador of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So this isn't my home. This isn't the place of my nationality. I've been bought by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. I am a new creation. I have a new parentage. I have a new everything. And I am a part of this kingdom. I'm an heir and a co-heir by the completed work of Christ Jesus. So now I'm on mission as an ambassador. And so when you look at the attributes of an ambassador and what they do, for one, they speak with all authority of their sovereign. They operate with the free ability to make decisions and even negotiations based on behalf of their sovereign because they fully represent it. And when because they are representation of their sovereign, they never acquiesce or change or compromise the efforts and the goals and the intents and the end states and the greater agenda of their sovereign for another nation, right?
Right.
That's not the type of ambassador that we're to be that sells out and compromises and do everything to feed our own flesh and perverts everything. Like when you're an ambassador of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that's a whole different thing. So that's why for me, I'm not emotionally invested. I am spiritually invested in something greater than the next election cycle. So my pea brain goes way macro. And so when I'm staying in the macro, all these micros that are going on constantly, daily, another shoe drops, another thing drops, another whatever, it doesn't jack me up and toss me to and fro because I'm operating from the macro. I can look at it honestly. And again, I go first intellectual integrity, because that's easier, then spiritual integrity, and go, it just is what it is. It just is. So am I, like Trump as a man, witting or unwitting, I don't care either. He may not have a clue how he's being used and how he's being preyed upon, right? This is the nature of delusion. It's not an ignorance issue. It's a delusion issue. And again, even like John pointed out, is a many of pagan spirited men throughout history have been called righteous by God, not because they themselves were righteous, but because they were a tool in his hand. So anything God's using to accomplish his will at the end of the day is an object of righteousness. In fact, he calls about the giants coming back on the earth, right? Getting into the hybridization, transhumanism stuff, and all the different golden age, the return of the golden age of gods, which is the only thing Trump has ever fixated on, is the return of the golden age of the gods. That's the only place that is used is golden age.
And we're entering an era, a time now where quantum meets AI, which AI is the solution to everything, and quantum is the speed of the solution, which we are entering right now, which is going to be absolutely insanity. And yeah. I just think, yeah, it's going to be beautiful for a time being. And then bam, it's going to take a wrong turn. And, you know, it's who controls that technology. And if you think about everything happening right now, like the good news would be, well, we won't need doctors anymore. You'll be able to 3D print your organs. You'll go to an AI station. You'll see an AI doctor, and they'll be able to three-dimensionally print your organ, whatever transplant you need. I mean, that's the future of medicine. That's where we're going. But I think for a time being, and then bam, it takes the wrong turn. It encapsulates all of us. It captures us into this system. where you'll have to have a mark in order to go see these doctors, these AI doctors. Like, the system will incorporate that as it goes along and seems so beautiful. So it'll be very shiny and beautiful, and this beautiful light of, wow, the golden age. But really, it's encapsulating us. It's capturing us in this net and taking us into the beast system. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And we have to remember that the servants of Lucifer himself can transform themselves into angels of light, and they masquerade as ministers of righteousness. It's a masquerade ball. So they're actually in full-time ministry for righteousness sake, but it's a counterfeit. So this even gets into speaking of AI and the quantum aspects of it and what it brings about. What they're establishing is a counterfeit millennial reign devoid of Christ. So it's antichrist means in place of Christ. So you don't need Christ as a healer. We'll be your healers. You can be like God through AI. You can be at least somewhat omniscient and omnipresent. So you can have almost all knowing, and you can be all present. You can become God yourself.
You'll be living to 150 years old, 200 years old.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. You don't have to be healed by the blood of the Lamb and by his wounds be healed. You can be healed by us in our arrival at this super AI sentience, which gets back to the Tower of Babel, why God confused their language. He said nothing would be impossible for them. Nothing.
We're already there at a micro level. I mean, you think about
absolutely just
on every aspect. I mean, you don't have to really even go hungry in the United States. You can get food stamps or you can get whatever. I mean, you don't have to cry out to God really at all in the United States.
Yeah. And this gets into the GMO. Okay. Like genetically modified organisms. That means everything. So that's our mosquitoes. We know that. And our plants and our animals and our cows and our chickens and our grass and our beef and our soybeans and our corn and our blah, blah, and our skies through geoengineering, all the patents that they have with that. Like, and then including the human genome with mRNA, you are a genetically modified organisms. Why? Because now nothing is created in God's image, humanity, and you're not created according to God's will and purposes. You're created in our image. So everything is in place of Christ, in place of God, which is why this neutrality of the beast system is centered on worship. Notice it's all about worship, and they worship the beast, and they worship the beast, and they worship. And those who did not worship the beast and would not receive this mark and the seal and this whatever, affirming their allegiance in their worship, they're the ones that are put to death. So it's
so hold on. They're the ones that are put to death, which leads me to Charlie Kirk's assassination. It also leads me to, you know, I've had a guest on, and a lot of my audience knows who he is, Juan O'Savin. He's talked about, you know, he's told me, you know, the Antichrist will suffer a head wound. And this was before Trump was hit with a bullet in the ear. And I was like, okay, well, that's kind of a funny thing to say. And I revisited it when I was talking to Juan one day. I was like, hey, Juan, you said the Antichrist will take a head wound. Trump got hit in the ear. I don't know. I'm just kind of throwing things out there, just making some points. He goes, no, that's not like that, and blah, 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 whatever. But what's your thoughts on Trump's failed assassination attempt? Was that divine intervention? And then the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I mean, Charlie Kirk was out there preaching the word, talking about the nuclear family, and then he gets taken out, yet Trump survives. What's your thoughts on those two right there?
People aren't going to like this answer. And again, I apologize to your audience if I'm
trigger alert, if I'm
affecting them. And I'm all right with shaking paradigms, but I'm just like, let's just deal with it with integrity. That's my biggest thing. Like, take emotionalism out of it. I do have friends in different intelligence communities and stuff like that. So, you know, even from JSOC to MARSOC to SIGINT to geospatial intelligence to blah, 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 operating at the NSA and different stuff like that. I'm not saying that to be like, oh, I'm a cool guy and I'm well connected. I'm not. I'm a scrub. But for some reason, people like talking, you know, so they always talk. Those things happened to galvanize the support behind the counterfeit light that's emerging. That's why.
That's what I was guessing.
Yes. And because it does. Again, why? Because of emotionalism. Listen, you have the world's leading psychologists, anthropologists, sociologists, whatever, cultural studies people, neurologists. They know every single aspect of how you're going to respond before they do anything. They know exactly what pressures to apply, when to apply them, and to what degree to apply them to achieve a particular end state. And now with AI, they actually, there's no human error involved in their predictive programming anymore. And with their threat fusion centers, which are pulling data of every type, text, swipe, scroll, how long you stared at an image or a little video on your thing, I mean, it is pulling in everything. It knows exactly what to feed you, when to feed you, and how much to feed you to shift your consciousness in a particular way, even to the point of creating the perfect amount of friction between two opposing factions in order to get to the next step. And so that's the reality of what's going on with here. And again, I know we've kind of been bouncing all over the place and then go in depth about the really the arch of Trump and what that means, but this is all taking us somewhere while we're unaware. And it is a counterfeit light. A deception does not come with a jackboot on your neck or a gun to your head or a hammer and sickle stamped on your chest. That's not how deception comes. Everybody knows that. Anybody know? When some dude chest bumps you in a bar, you're going to hit him in the mouth because you don't know what else to do, right? You're going to push back. You're going to fight back. You're going to do whatever. You're going to rebel. You're going to self-preserve. You're going to assert protection. You're going to put in place personal protectionisms when somebody comes at you in violence, threatening your livelihood. So that's not a deception. That's what I was saying. The deep state, the communist socialist agenda, all this other stuff was propped up intentionally and then exposed intentionally for controlled demolition to insert now the counterfeit light. That is the deception. What is happening right now is the deception. It is. So even modern monetary theory, which is fractional reserve banking, has intentionally been propped up and perverted and exploited to the max for controlled demolition so that you will clamor for central bank digital currencies with the proper appropriate policies in place to protect the monetary value. It's intentional. It's the same thing with the perversity and the lawlessness of the left, not just in America. That's global, right? This is a global phenomenon. This hyper-liberalism, this hedonistic, which is religion, this hedonistic thing has been allowed to be propped up. So it would sear the masses. They'd be so filled with vomit in their mouth about what's going on in their public schools and to their children and through Disney and TikTok and blah, 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 so that you will command a return to nuclear family and right things, this restoration. But it always comes with a caveat, just like now with Palantir. So you see this, the shutting down of the Amazon Web Service, and then the shutting down of this, and then the shutting down of the cloud, and then the what's going on with the different assassinations, and the quote-unquote criminality of the illegals, which is why we need troops all over in the streets and Palantir to have a super surveillance state for your welfare. And you know who's demanding these things? MAGA.
The people.
Is demanding them. That's the deception. This is how it works. And it's
the problem. The problem is that all those things are real issues, though. Like, that's the thing. That's where it gets dicey. Like, all of those evil people, even though it is, they've been propped up, but they're still there, and they don't want to give up. They don't want to roll over. And so, like, you know, with the illegals and all that, Palantir, like, that's the problem. Is like, it's a good thing, but at the same time, it's going to be used for something much darker, man. That's the crazy part about it.
Yeah. And remember that the serpent in the garden, his modus operandi, the only tool he has in his toolbox is subtlety. He was more subtle than all the creations in the garden. Some translations would render it crafty. Subtlety is the nature of a deception, not, again, a boot on your neck or a hammer and sickle rammed down your throat.
And I understand this very well because, you know, when you approach a wild horse or a horse, even you don't want to spook the horse. You come up to it very subtly, right? Very calmly to the horse. Same thing when I was in boxing, everyone that I thought was my friend and put their arms around me and gave me a smile and patted me on the back. Oh, you're like a son to me. Were the biggest criminals. You know, they were the ones. And I learned the hard way that way.
And what does it say about the Antichrist? You know, it says with flattery, with flattery, he deceives the masses with flattery, both braggadocious, arrogant, strong, peace and security, and with flatteries, kind of stroking your ego, stroking your particular desires, you know, meeting exactly what your emotional whims are kind of demanding, and flattering that a little bit. But even like the Bible says, like, be on guard of those when all men speak well of you. Like, watch out for flattery. Like, flattery is, there's some hidden agenda when there's hyper flattery. So, you know, and again, I don't want to make this the centrality being on who Trump is and who he's not. I don't care about that. There's a macro picture. And again, that's why I said at the beginning, replace the name Trump with anybody else. It doesn't matter. Like, use Smith, use Johnson, use whatever it helps you.
But what's helping here with this podcast is the symbology is what's giving it away, really. Like these, like the construction of this art, this royal arc, right? I mean, that's kind of like what's giving it all away, correct?
And the rotunda and the apotheosis and the fact that it's in the womb of Semiramis, Ishtar, the Capitol building is literally an edifice, an iconography of the womb of Semiramis across from the Washington Monument with the phallus of Nimrod, which is Apollo with the reflecting pool of as above, so below, regarding to the occultism, right down the street from the Scottish Rite Freemason, where every inauguration, there's that word again, the augurs, every inauguration, they perform the rising of Osiris ceremony. Every time from Washington on, they perform the rising of Osiris. And there's a reason why it's called the District of Columbia. Who is Columbia? Ishtar, Inanna, the Queen of Heaven. You know, like, who, what is going, why did they construct all of the District of Columbia, move it from New York City to a swamp that had to be built up, and then literally reconstructed it as an exact, again, here's that Marian, an exact recreation of ancient Rome and Egyptological edifices. It's everywhere and everything and everything, because it's only ever occultism. The entire Capitol complex is laid out in Moloch, Molochian worship. The entire complex is, right? The Washington Monument, the obelisk, which is the phallic symbol of Apollo, is 666 feet tall. Well, imagine that, you know, blah, blah. And then they literally recreated the Temple of Pergamon. An exact representation for one of the edifices in Washington, D.C. What's the Temple of Pergamon? Biblically, it's literally listed as the seat of Satan, as the throne of Satan himself, which is Apollo, which is Osiris, it's every little detail. They don't skip a single beat. So this gets into where this really offends people's sensibilities is the revisionist history of America. Founding fathers and this being a Christian nation. It is not a Christian nation. I say that unequivocally. And I, you know, do your research. Read Thomas Jefferson. They loathed Christians. I mean, their writings. I had to read these.
They were all Masons.
They were even worse than Masons, were like low level. These guys, like, they loathed the idea of Christians and of Jesus Christ. They loathed it. Benjamin Franklin, I don't know how many bodies they found under his
in his basement, right? Or under his house.
Yeah. And he's a part of the Hellfire Club and blah, 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 blah. Like John Adams, these guys despise, which is why they are deists. And when they say in God we trust, nobody asks what God. Their God is Apollo, is Saturn, which is the same God that this current administration is enamored with. That's all he's ever referencing is Apollo. Just most people don't have the ears to hear. That's what they count on. It's a part of their lesser magic that only the initiates, only the adepts understand what they're actually communicating. It's like Bush talking about his 1,000 points of lights and all that. It's like, dude, do you know what he's saying? Do you know where that comes from? They tell you right to your face. So
yeah, they hide it in plain sight, basically. Yeah. What's your thoughts? I wanted to get your thoughts real quick on Elon Musk and his rocket systems. You know, I just feel like every time I see one shoot up into space, I don't believe all the CGI photos. I don't believe any of the stuff they're trying to sell us. What do you think this is? What kind of deception is the Elon Musk deception? You think it's deception?
Yeah, there's, I'm sure you guys have looked into, you know, what his former au pair or like his nanny has said about him and then the ties to his family, his bloodlines, his mom. Yeah. I mean, and even all this is theatrics, right? The tension between Trump and Elon and the Doge, you know, it's all theatrics, but, he, and it's funny, even when you look at pop culture, they have been terraforming predictive programming Elon Musk for the last 20 years. This is what's the Iron Man dude and all that, blah, blah, blah. Like these every kids, like they have been predictive programming Elon Musk coming onto the scene for 30 years.
True. Yes. So true.
Right. He is even the fulfillment
even longer
of
than that. Even again, longer than remember, that, if you look at like Wernher von Braun, you talked about terraforming, the Nazi scientist who came over and started NASA. He wrote about Elon, or he wrote a guy named Elon would take over a colony in Mars in his book that he wrote like in the 40s. I mean, like that's how long Elon's been, like at least the name. I mean, obviously they didn't know he was going to exist probably, but like it's crazy, man.
Well, and then, I mean, this gets into more woo, but it's relevant. It's just like, wow, that's interesting. You know, put that in your pipe and smoke it. But the whole, the adventures of Baron Trump.
Baron Trump, I was just going to bring that up. I just wrote down Baron Trump's name right now to bring up that.
Yeah.
You do it.
With Baron his father, Donald, good. And they do this thing. And they both, so that's what I'm saying is like, these guys are informed by arcane ancient entities. They're not, these aren't just men doing manly things that maybe we agree or disagree with. And again, that's where we have to operate from the macro. There is a much, and this is why the emotionalism gets reduced when we're operating from that macro. The emotionalism doesn't, we still have emotions. We have preferences. We have hopes that maybe get shot down or blah, blah, blah. Like whatever. That's totally normal humanistic experience stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. But when we are emotionally invested, we're not willing, because it's called confirmation bias or normalcy bias, or the worst bias of all in psychology is comfort bias. We refuse to allow our paradigm to be changed, no matter how empirical and objective the evidence is. We refuse to allow our paradigm because of the emotional investment. You want to know why? Pride, because we don't want to look foolish. That's all it is. We don't want to look foolish that we gave ourselves over to this thing. We championed it. We stood on it. We proclaimed it. We shouted it. We debated it. We have built that. We have made this the rock on which we're going to build our house. So how could I ever recant and say I was wrong? See, that's they count on that pride. And so to go, I don't care about being wrong. I know you guys, I don't care. I'm like, I wasn't trying to be malicious. I wasn't trying to be nefarious. I wasn't manipulating anything. That's what I understood at the time. Now, as I've taken in more data,
and that's, I do that. I do that. My ego was busted in boxing, right? I was 36-0, blemish.
I bet.
And then, you know, I was undefeated, you know, top prospect on ESPN, everything. And then I lost. And the whole thing went down the drain, went from hero to zero. To hit rock bottom, found out rock bottom had a basement. I mean, terrible. And I tell my audience that's here, I'm not right. What I just try to do is lift up every stone and let's all do this together. You know, like I'm not trying to be a cult leader here. I'm just trying to be the guy that brings the information that my audience can decide for themselves. That's
it. Yeah, I agree.
That's why I brought John Pounders on and you. I don't claim to be right about anything. I just want to bring the right guests on that my now everyone knows my opinion and my perspective on things, but dude, like we this segment today obviously shifted some of my perspective, and I thank you both for that. John, do you have any last questions for Jamie?
Yeah, I think that Jamie, like one of the things that last time we talked that I think that would be valid to explain to people is maybe a little bit more about the arch and what it signifies each time that it's put in front of an area, and like why, because I mean we talked a little bit about it, but why is it such a huge deal? Because I mean, let's face it, no other president has ever done this yet. Yes, Obama brought in the Arches of Baal for a short period of time, but like, you know, that's something that I don't think that we got to, that I think people might want to hear about.
Yeah. So on a quick side note, I'll answer that, but I want to add this too real quick for brevity's sake. Another particular attribute to pay attention with what's going on is what's happening in Gaza. And even the AI generated videos about Trump Gaza and Gaza this and Gaza that, but along with the Abraham Accords and the covenant with many, it is many. I can't remember how many nations. It's like
the Silver Crown of Jerusalem.
60 nations are on board with this thing, including both Sunni and Shia Islam. I mean, you can't even make this stuff up, but the raising of Gaza and then the rollout of Trump Gaza as this Riviera of the Mediterranean on the Middle East shouldn't be lost on anybody who knows their scriptures, because it says the Antichrist, the one who is in place of, not against Christ, he's in place of Christ. He has sets himself up in place of Christ. He actually will affirm Jesus as a prophet, as a good man, as a whatever. That's Christ consciousness. He will affirm the Christocentricity of Jesus himself, but also assert that there are many Christs. And I am one as well, too. But what's in particular about the in place of Christ, the Antichrist, is that he established his luxurious, opulent tents between the Great Sea and Zion. That's the Gaza Strip. That's where he builds superstructures and super cities from which he rules and reigns out of.
Which Trump is talking about.
Yes. So again, these details shouldn't be lost on people when they know their word and they know the world that's going on around them. It's like when I hear, you know, different news articles or read different things or whatever, blah, 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 I'm like, oh, I understand what I'm reading because I read the word. And I also read what they write about themselves. So, you know, when you have those, that two contexts, I'm not shocked by what I'm seeing. Okay. So I just want to add that caveat, because that's one of those.
And
other
who went to Gaza? I mean, who got a lot of the contracts was Jared Kushner, right?
And Jericho, who's a Kabbalist. So that Kabbalism. It's Kabbal. It's Canaan Baalism. Canaan Baalism. Kabbalism. It's like, it's all, it's in every word that we say. I mean, they worship Tubal Cain in the Freemason. Your Facebook symbol is Tubal Cain of Freemason, who was heralded as one of the chief rebels against God himself. I mean, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Okay. So the arches. I'll divest from that, but they were established as a supernatural power source, like planting your flag, asserting dominion, territorial dominion over a particular region, over a particular people group. In fact, the original Arch of Titus, which Trump is recreating, was to commemorate the deification of Titus, so he became a god, and also the conquering of the Jewish people, asserting the dominance of the conquering of the Jewish people. That's also why Napoleon erected one also in Paris. You have the, I won't even try to speak French, that other, the major monument in Paris that everybody drives around, the Triumphant Arch, the Arch of Triumph in Paris, commissioned by Napoleon. And you have these different arches elsewhere, but they are territorial markers for the supernatural, the principalities, spiritual wickedness, the high places, Arthur, the unseen realm. That's why these things are erected.
And something interesting real quick about Napoleon. Napoleon means new Apollyon, by the way, just so people know that. And so the same as Apollo.
I never knew that. Yeah. Interesting. New Apollyon. Yeah. New Apollo.
They have one of these in Rome, don't they? I remember standing under one in Rome.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I remember standing under it. Just, wow, if I would have known then what I know now. Geez, I mean, this is crazy. Folks, leave your comments down below. Please like and share this video. I love having John Pounders on. And now, Jamie Walden, I'd love to have you on again. There's so much more to talk about. You know, I kind of feel, and I was just going to bring this point up, I've kind of fallen into the camp that I do believe in outer space. I do believe in all that. But I kind of feel, I really do believe there's a firmament. I'm starting to believe that. I'm starting to go into that camp. And I think they're trying to puncture the veil. I think that's what Elon Musk is trying to do, is trying to get through the veil, the firmament. You always see this, like this waviness in the rockets when they take off and they hit a certain point in the stratosphere or wherever they're at. There's this almost like silicone eruption, like this wavy water that's under behind the tail of the rocket. Now, I could just be crazy here, but I watch a lot of YouTube podcast. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying.
Well, let me add one more quick caveat to that, because this is what I've been read into from the occultic adept side, is the whole reason for the Planetary Defense Initiative, Golden Dome, there it is again, Elon Musk, Starlink, European Space Agency, blah, 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 directed energy weapons, whether you believe in outer space or not, they I'll use their language, you know, space-based weapons platforms, ASAT, anti-satellite weapons, and everything else, which are usually a threefold, like a Trident-based thing, terrestrial, sea-based, outer space-based, planetary defense initiative. I kid you not, this is what the occultists say, is because they know Christ is returning and they're preparing for war. That's why. It has nothing to do with the asteroids, which they're trying. They did their DART mission and they're doing their little.
So they need the aliens to come first.
I believe that's a part of a deception to galvanize the global governments and economies and religions of the world. Yes. But if you pay attention at the Battle of Armageddon, it says they gather, right? The deceiving spirit goes out, gathers them all, and they lift their weapons skyward. They know exactly who's coming and they know who the fight. I mean, that even gets into all the deep underground military bases and what, you know, Zuckerberg and Oprah and all these other, they're talking about how much you're going in the earth. Catherine Austin Fitz just broke the $21 trillion of black budget money being built for super cities underground. You have the most recent predictive program in the silo come out on Amazon or whatever with Rebecca Ferguson about them going underground. And then you have Obadiah 4:4, where it talks about them trying to get off Earth. Though you set your nest among the stars, I'll bring you low for judgment. Then you have Revelation 6. The great men will hide themselves in the rocks of the earth, and they know why. It says, because of God and the wrath of the Lamb. Not just God in a general deistic sense, because of the wrath of the Lamb, because of Jesus Christ coming. Then you have in Armageddon, they raise their weapons skyward. They actually are preparing for the final battle against Jesus Christ himself. And here's the hubristic nature of the Luciferian delusion. They think they can win. That's the funniest part of all, is they're doing it because they think they can win. That's why they're doing it.
Insanity. I got to tell you, man, this is probably one of the most powerful, educational, informative podcasts I've ever done. John, seriously, man, I'm so glad. I watch a lot of your stuff, John, and I'm a fan. And Jamie, wow, man, this has been incredible. So informative. I'm going to go back and watch this again. I mean, there's just so much here to unpack. But yeah, it's the truth nugget. And now my whole perspective has changed. Obviously, I'm going to continue to follow the deep state war and where it's going. But, man, this is giving me such a bigger purpose now in what I'm doing. So, man, I have you guys to thank for that. So, thank you. So, this has been huge for me. Very informative. Jamie,
I appreciate that, by the way. Man. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, it's fascinating, man. I mean, like, and it just goes and goes and goes.
Actually calming to me, to be honest.
It is.
Because I know there's just nothing I can do about it except just trust in God. That's it. Well, and that's so easy to do.
Knowledge is the antidote to fear. And that's the beautiful thing, is like, I tell people all the time, like, I'm not concerned about what's coming or anxious or whatever. I actually know, and I don't say that with arrogancy or hubris, I at least know in a general sense, because I have the word. I know countries by name that are going to do what next, and what economies are going to do, and what leaders, like, I don't have to guess. I have the word of the living God, and the spirit of Christ is prophecy. And like, I don't have to guess. I have the play. I know what's going on with Three Eye Atlas, our Apophis, which is coming in 2029, and the astral catastrophisms and the earth changes and the magnetosphere disruptions. And my, like, I don't have to guess anymore because I have the word.
There's supposed to be an asteroid that's going to hit or come close to hitting Earth in 2029, right?
That's actually kind of my.
We should do another show about that, man. We should do
my shtick. My shtick is astro catastrophism and Apophis. Like,
come on, are you serious?
Yeah, that's kind of my. I don't know, my bread.
So we could talk about 2029, the asteroid coming. Let's all do a show together and do that.
Yeah, we can for sure, because going back to the macro, I don't know, we're wrapping it up, but going back to the macro, is you can't understand all the micro that are going on right now with all the governments and the World War IIIs and the depopulation agenda and the blah, 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 and the surveillance state and the transhumanism and the alterations of our genome and all these different things and the Salvard seed vault and the preparations underground. You can't understand any of that without without knowing the book of Revelation and the astrocatastrophism. It's all connected. There's a they all know exactly what's coming and when it's coming. Even 3-Eye Atlas is a part of softening your idea to the possibility of a space object threatening all of humanity. And I can go into all the Planetary Defense Initiative findings and what they figured out, but we can do that on another show.
Can we do that on another show? Can we all, you guys stay with me, okay, for a second when we log off here. I want to schedule another show. And yeah, folks, for sure. Let's do that on ninoscorner.tv. Are you guys okay with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Jamie, where do people find you?
Yeah, they can find me at omegadynamics.org is my landing page. And I do have a book that is about equipping us for these things that are coming on spiritually with an identity in Christ called Omega Dynamics, Equipping a Warrior Class of Christians for the Days Ahead. You can find that on Amazon. And then you can also follow me on YouTube as well, just under Jamie Walden.
Omegadynamics.org, is that what you said?
Correct, .org.
And John, where do people find you? People know
already. Pounder's Quest on YouTube. You can check me out there. I just actually did an interview with Nino yesterday. I have one with Jamie that I did the other day. But yeah, check me out on there, actually. So Pounder's Quest, you can just type that in. I don't think there's any other too many other pounders out there, but maybe.
All right, guys, stay with me just as we finish here. Folks, thanks for joining us. This has been one hell of an explosive podcast. Lots of things to come, and we're going to do a part two very soon. So thank you, gentlemen. Thank